But if it's a daughter, she'll be prohibited from marrying a kohen. So let's say this single girl has a ma'isim b'chayot, a single girl has a baby, and we don't know what the status of the baby is. Was she nivelas from her brother or from her father, in which case the vlad is a mamzer? Was she nivelas from a nochri, in which case the vlad, if it's a girl, is asur to marry a kohen? She's not allowed to marry a kohen. Or was she nivelas? Or was she nivelas from a cholol? A cholol. What is a cholol? A cholol is a man or a woman. In this case, it has to be a man. You can have a man or a woman can be a cholol or a cholol. A child who was born from Misuri Kuna. Let's say a kain is not permitted to marry a grusha, a zain, or a cholol. So he marries such a woman. Either he marries or he's a boil with that marriage. A kain haboil, a zain, a cholol, or a grusha. Or a kangodol is not permitted to marry an almana. So the kangodol lives with an almana, marries an almana, lives with an almana. They have a vlad. So whether they have a son or a daughter, that child is going to be a cholol. So if it's a boy, cholol, boy or a girl, so cholol means empty, vacuum. Cholol, empty. Means emptied out from kedushas kuna. The child has no kedushas kuna whatsoever. It cannot be makor chabanos in the Beis Hamikdash. Kenadi Truma is permitted to be mitami of a mason, is permitted to marry if it's a boy, is permitted to marry Yusha Zayin of a halala. He doesn't have any dinim of kuna at all. Absolutely no dinim of kuna. Beilah haka, beilah haka.
Doesn't the Rambam say that
when the Yevid, if you got avoda, he's avoda, he's a shiloh? Yeah. The Tanoim have a machlegs of Lezer of Yeshua. What if the cholo does avoda, but the Yevid is a kosher apostle? We pass him like Rabbi Yeshua, but the Yevid. The avoda is kshera, and it's a machlokes tesis in the Rambam. When is that? The tesis sheet in the Gemara Kiddushin does some machlokes and base. Tesis sheet is that the avoda is only kosher for the Yevid. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, Rabbi Shua Shita. Tesis sheet is based on the simple reading of the Gemara Kiddushin, some machlokes and base. And the Makis, the Daf Yomi just learned it last week. So the Gemara sounds like it says, according to Rabbi Shua, the avoda is only kosher by Cholo Sheni Yodua. We didn't know until he did avoda yesterday. And we didn't know that he was a cholo. Nobody knew. We didn't know. So b'diyeved, since he was a cholo, sheni yadua, so we learn now from a pasuk that since b'shas ma'isa, that when he did the avodah, we thought that he was kosher. So b'diyeved is kosher. The Rambam has a startling opinion, seems to be alfi pashtus, against all the Gemaras. You have to work hard to understand how the Rambam read the Gemaras. So the Rambam has a very startling shita. He claims that the mashmas of the pasuk is even a cholo yadua, even though we know that he's a cholo. Today, we ascertain that he's a cholol, and then tomorrow he does avodah. He knows, and we know, we all know, but he does avodah, but he will be kosher. So that's an exception to the rule, despite the fact that he's not a kohen, bein lahakam, bein lahachmer, but since his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather were kohanim, and he has the status of a cholol, cholol has a special status. So, but he avodah is kosher. That's the Rambam Shita, yes. That's the one exception to the rule. Not that but he he's a kohen, but but he avodah is ksheru. So we don't know what the status of the vlad is.
And do the regular dinim of a vodah apply to that such a situation of a cholo, such as the Christ of the Guardians, or if he's common nature, would that vodah be kosher in that case?
I don't think so. I'll be pashtus. Any other psul under the sun is possible even for the Yevid. The only one and only psul that the Rambam understood in the Gemara, he understood and misunderstood, whatever it is, the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. So the Rambam understood the Pshat and the Gemara, that the Yevid Avodah is good. I think it's only if this is the one and only Psul. But if there were other Psulim blended in, those Psulim will not be kosher for the Yevid. I think so. So there's a question regarding the Uber that's born, whether the Vlad is going to be a Mamza, whether the Vlad is going to be a Cholo, or a Chololo, if it'll be a girl. So that's one question. What's the status of Vlad? And then there's a question regarding the status of the woman. If a woman is niveles, let's say a Jewish girl is permitted to marry a kohen, a Levi, or Israel, but what happens if the Jewish woman is nivela l'pasala? Let's say the woman was nivela to a nochri, to an eved, kenaini, to a cholol, to a nosin, to a mamzer, even if it's bainus. The Mishnah has a case later on Yud Dalet of a base. Nishnan Yudalam base. Maisa Bitinoikis, a little girl, Shiyarda Lamalas Mayim in Hayin. The parents asked her to go draw some water by the well. They're in the middle of eating dinner. The Nenson, she was attacked, and she didn't know who attacked her. She didn't know whether she was Nivela or Nachli or not. So the Gemara has a whole discussion that the din is even if she's Nenso by an Akum, Ebed, Cholol, Nasin, Mamzer, one of these people, she becomes Asura Lekahuna. What's the nature of the Isser Lekahuna? So the Rambam in Hilchas Isser Idiya, the Rambam writes that the Isser Lekahuna is a Zaino. That's a simple reading in the Gemara, that she has the din of a Zaino Asura Lekahuna. Nivelo Lepasel of Solo is Asura Lekahuna. The Rambam points out that it's very surprising that if the woman is in violation of the Issa Kares of Nida, that a woman is in violation of the laws of Nida. So she doesn't become, even though she's in violation of an Issa Kares, she doesn't become, she lives with her husband during the time that she's a Nida, she doesn't, not considered a Nivel or Apostle of Sola, even though she's over an Issa Kares. And on the other hand, if the woman lives with a Cholol, which is Hetzer Gomer, a Cholol is permitted to marry a Jewish woman, even if she's a Kohenis. She's permitted to marry a Cholol. A Kohen is not permitted to marry a Chololo, but a Kohenis is permitted to marry a Cholol. That's how the Gemara has an expression. L'huzeruk sheiros, l'hinosi l'psulos. A Kohenis is not prohibited. There's no Azhara prohibiting a Kohenis from marrying a Cholol. There's nothing wrong. So even though that's the Hetzer Gomer, nonetheless, the Halacha says that the woman becomes a Zaino. That's how the Rambam writes. So the Rambam writes, Hola, Marto, in Perik Yudches, in Hilchas Yisuri Bi Halacha, hey. He says, the upshot of all these dinim is, She'ein ha'yoyis ha'zayna tluya v'b'yilo shal Yisr, she'aribo ala nida, o nevelos lebehema, nivalo b'yilo shal Yisr, v'loy nasa zayna. O'mishin nisus l'chol, nivalo b'yilo shal Heter, k'mo she's bom, nasa zayna. It doesn't depend on whether she violated Nisa. She's permitted to live with a Cholo. A girl marries a Cholo. She's married for many years. They have a lot of children. And then one day the husband dies. So the woman is not permitted to marry a Kohen, even though she's just a plain old Amana. What's wrong with Amana? Is allowed to marry a Kohen, had you? No, she's Nivelo the Pasulah. What did she do to Easter? She married a Cholo. It's Hetzer Gomer. Despite the fact that it's Hetzer Gomer, the Rambam understood the Gemara to say that she becomes a Zayna. Not all the Rishonim agree with the Rambam. Some Rishonim, the Gemara asked the question in the end of Yevamos. How can it be Nivelo l'Pasul Psola if it's Behetha Gomer? So the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk that nonetheless the woman becomes Asura Lekuna. So Tosfos learns in Yevamos, Tosfos learns she becomes Asura Lekuna Midin Chalola, not Midin Zayna. But the Rambam learned the Gemara not so. The Rambam understood the Gemara that she becomes a Zayna, Nivelo l'Pasul. So the Rambam explains that Nivelo l'Pasul depends on the Chala Shem Psul and the Gavra. Does the man have a shame psul or not? So a cholol is a shame psul on the gavra. There's something wrong with him. Happens that that shame psul is irrelevant as far as this woman is concerned. She's a kohen. She's permitted to marry a cholol. L'huzuruk sheris linotzer the psulos. But nonetheless, zof kosav she was nivel al apostolo. As opposed to the woman who was nivelis b'nidosa. So there's no shame psul on the boil. There's no shame psul on the gavra. So the Rambam says, despite the fact that they violated an isa kares, habual anido, a nivelis l'behema, there's also an isa kares. Nivala Bilusha Lisa Valina Sizaina, because there's no shame psula on the Gavra. What the Behema has a shame psula? Behema is a Diaz name Mishka Behema, there's no shame psula on the Behema. And voila Nida, the problem is that she's a Nida, there's no problem on the boil. So the Rambam writes that the whole din depends on whether Enadavatala Pipigimo. Is there a shame psula on the Gavra? Okay. That's how the Rambam understood the Gemara. So that those are the two issues that we're going to deal with in the Mishnah here. The psul on the isha and the psul on the bito. The bito and the bno, whether the child is a mamzer or not, whether the child is a cholol or not, and whether the child is a ben ha'akum, akum abo abas Yisrael, the vlad may not marry a, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Yeah, what kind of a din is that? That akum abo abas Yisrael, vlad is not to marry a, not allowed to marry a kohen. The Gemara in Yevamos has a suffix about that. Akma, there is no postig b'feirish. Akma habol bas Yisrael. The Gemara has a machlokes satanim whether the vlad is a mamzer. The Gemara says the ilchus of itas malacha bein eshesish bein pinoy. The vlad is not a mamzer. Then the Gemara has a question. Maybe if it's a daughter, maybe the daughter is not allowed to marry a kohen. So that's the ribay the light shita in the Gemara. So some rishonim paskin lahakel. Some rishonim paskin lahakel. And that's how some chacham avadi yosei paskin lahakel because it's the favorite vision the Rambam. He always followed the Svardim. So the Rambam Paskin is Lahakel is Lahakel. And the Shulchan Aruch, it says that we are machmer on this. L'chatchila, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. She's nisus lo tesis. What kind of din is that? A nisus lo tesis. What is it? With the rabbanon? How can you be mekel b'diavad? Why should it be muta b'diavad? That's a problem. But the fact that a nisus lo tesis sounds like the whole issue is only the rabbanon. The whole sofik in the Gemara, whether Akam Abol Bas Yisrael, whether the daughter is permitted to marry a kohen or not, sounds like the whole thing is only the rabbanon. Because if it's the raisa, so why should you distinguish between l'chatchila and b'diavad? Unless you come up with some whopper of the svaras, Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva where he works very hard and comes up with a hesba. How can it be that it's a sefer deraisa lechumra and b'diavad and nisus leteis? See, he works on that. That's the question. What's the whole nature of the prohibition of akam habal bas yisrael? The daughter is not allowed to marry a kohen. But that's how the generally accepted opinion is that lechatchila she's not allowed to marry a kohen. The nisus leteis. If she married the kohen already, then b'diavad you don't have to get divorced. There is a fascinating Ravid in on that Gemara. The Ravid this Gemara is in Yevamos in the Mem, around Mem Hey or so. So the Ravid has the Ravid in the Balamor learned Bechavusa, and they learned Bechavusa by the Ravid. The Ravid married the daughter of the Ravid, the Ro Abdezin, Rabbeinu Avram ben Yitzchok Abdezin of Narbona. So the Ravid and the Balamor learned by him, and then the famous Ravid, the one who wrote the Halachos on the Rambam, married the daughter of the Balo Eshkol. The Shach writes in Yerideh, sometimes the Rishonim quote the Ravid as saying opposite the thing's contradiction, says, Lehav Yadu, the two different people are known with the same name, Ravid. There's a third one also, but he wrote a history book, so they never quote him, he's not in the running over here. He never has anything to say on Halach. He wrote a funny book that's supposed to be a history book called Seder HaKabbalah, full of mistakes. So the later history books, right, you have to take it with a lot of salt. So with a pound of salt, everything that he says. That's a strange story. So so the Ravid with the Balamor, both on the Chavus, and they both wrote Hasogas on the Rif. So the Balamor wrote Hasogas on the Rif. He writes, he's 19 years old, and he's writing Hasogas on the Rif. And the Ravid writes responses to the Balamor's Hasogas on the Rif. That's printed separately. It's called Kosum Shom. Because every paragraph begins, Kosum Shom, it says in my Chavrusa's book, and then he rips them apart. Once in a while, and he agrees, so he says, Gonavumiiti, that he stole it from me. It's my Svara, and he stole it from me. And then the Ravid wrote Balei HaNefesh, the Sefer on Taras HaMishpach, and Balamor has Hastogas on the Ravid, and Balamor have Hastogas on each other. So they both wrote Hastogas on the Rif, and the Ramban was upset that both of them, how can they push away, they were both very young. Balamor writes, he's only 19 when he's writing the book. So how can they write with such chutzpah? The Rif was the Poisek HaMekubal during their time. How can they write with such chutzpah? So a lot of times the Ramban happens to agree with the Ravid and the Balamor and the Hasogas on the Rif, but he was upset why they write, why they're so deicha the Rif. As if the Rif has no leg to stand on, so he always defends. So he has the Sefer Melchames Hashem, to defend the Rif from the Hasogas of the Balamor. And then he has the Sefer HaZuchus, here on page Chav Beis. You have it before and after also. You have the Sefer, page 42 in the Rif, page 43 in the Rif. You have a long Sefer HaZuchus, where he's defending the Rif from the Hasogas of the Ravid. And then you have the Melchames, here on page Chav Zainam and Aleph in the Rif. You have both the Melchames and the Sefer HaZuchus. He has to defend the Rif both from the Hasogas of the Balamor and from the Hasogas of the Ravid. So in the middle of Yevamos, around Daf Mem Hei or so, where the Rif quotes that din, Avak Ma'abol Bas Yisrael, the blood is Pasa L'Kuhuna, L'Hatpila, L'Oitinosim, Nisus L'Oitetze, not allowed to marry a coin. So there, the Ravid has a taina against the Rif, and in the middle of his discussion, he explains why the daughter should be Tzulda L'Kuhuna. So he has an interesting idea. In the middle of his presentation, he happens to disagree with Rashi on Ardaf, on Yud Gimel and Beis. Take a look at the Gemara at the bottom of Yud Gimel and Beis. 8 lines from the bottom. Amar Shmuel. Asara Kohanim Omdim. There are 10 Kohanim. Upirish Echad Mehem Uboal. And one of the 10 Kohanim, we don't know which one, was Boal and Isha. So we know that the mother is Ksher El Kuna, the father is a Kohen. So what can be wrong over here? We just don't know which one was Boal the Isha. We don't know which one was Mezana, but the woman is not married. And they're doing B'Yisr. These guys are all single and they're doing B'Yisr. Boal, so the status of the Vlad is Havlad Shtuki. The Vlad is a Shtuki. Usually Shtuki is a term for Sufik Mamza. Shtuki Basufi. Usually a shtuki means we know who the mother is, but we don't know who the father is. When the child grows up and he asks his mother, who's my father? So she says, keep quiet, don't ask any questions. She's mashtik the vlad. She tells the child, don't ask that question. So she wasn't married at the time that that she became pregnant with him. So that's a shtuki. You know who the mother is, you don't know who the father is. And a nasufi is a foundling, that they leave the baby on the stairs of the police station, or they leave the baby in a hospital, and they run away. We don't know who the father is, we don't know who the mother is. So the din is that min haTorah, this is very important. The Gemara says in the last perek in Kiddushin, min haTorah shtuki basufi is really a sofik mamzer, you don't know what the status is. But min haTorah, sofik mamzer is mutalova bekol. And the prohibition that the shtuki basufi is not allowed to marry a Yisrael kosher is only midirabbanan. Min haTorah is allowed to marry Yisrael kosher, or Yisrael is ksher, whether he's a boy or a girl. Min haTorah is allowed to marry either a mamzer or a Yisrael. He's allowed to marry either or. And some hold he's allowed to marry both. Some hold he's allowed to marry. He's allowed to take two wives. Before the chemdra of the negesh, he's allowed to take two wives. So let's say you have a person who's a sofik mamzer, shtuki vasufi. So the Shemaitza has in the very first chapter, Shemaitza Aleph, Perek Aleph, he quotes such a chiddush, a gevaldik chiddush, would the shtuki vasufi be permitted to marry two wives, one of them a mamzeres abadois, and one of them a Israelis ksheris. I mean, manumshav, one of them is the Isser. If he's a mamzer, so he's not allowed to marry the Israelis ksheris. If he's a kosher, then he wasn't permitted to marry the mamzeres. So the pashtas should be that to marry for the shtuki vasufi, for the sofik mamzer, to marry two wives, one of them being a mamzeres, one of them being a ksherer, for sure that should be a violation. So the first chapter in the Shev Shmaitze, he quotes Achrenim who suggests that maybe that's mutam and atar. Despite the fact that you have a tar to the sasser, maybe that's all included in the Chiddush Adin, I mean atar, asofik mamzer, is mutam, even tar to the sasser. Since each one is beheter gomer, he's allowed to marry either, min atar, the Rabban is not allowed to marry either. So min haTorah is allowed to marry even with a tar to the sasser. So we're going to have to get to that when we learn through the Gemara here, Yud Gimel Beis. We're going to have to discuss that Shev Shmaitze. Where did the Achronim get that idea from? Maybe they got it from Adaf. Maybe it came from Adaf. So the Gemara has here the din by the ten Kohanim, a bunch of single people, and one of them is Mizana with the girl. The girl became pregnant. The single girl. We don't know who the father of the baby is. So the Gemara says, Havla shtuki, the child is a shtuki. Shtuki is usually a technical term that means a suffix. Mamza, who's mutam and atar and osam drabban. Here it can't be shtuki, can't be used in the same sense that it's used all over in the Mishnah, shtuki basufi. Why should it be a suffix mamzer over here? We know all the ten Kohanim are all Kohanim ksherim, and the girl is ksherim. They did a maisa pritzis. Single people being mizan, of course it's a maisa pritzis. But why do you declare the Vlad is a shtuki, a suffix mamzer? The Gemara is not sure my shtuki. What is Shmuel talking about? That he declares the Vlad is a shtuki. E lema, if he should say that what Shmuel means to say is Shemashtik Mosa Minichse Yaviv, when the father dies, one of the ten Kohanim, he somehow has a hunch that he's a son of this kind. He didn't have the blood type testing and they didn't have the DNA investigation. So they didn't know who the father is. So let's say the kid looks like one of the ten Kohanim. So we're assuming that that's the father. So after that man dies, so the kid wants to get a Yerusha. Is that what Shmuel is talking about? The Vlad is a shtuki, that when the father, the one who is assumed to be the father, dies, that they'll chase him away, he's not going to get the Yerusha. If you should say that, that's the usage of the term, Shemashtikimos, I mean, if Sayoviv, he doesn't get a Yerusha, why not? Because the Yorshim Vadai are considered Mukhzak, and the father is Nechosim. The father had the Nechosim, so the father is the Mukhzak. This child can't take the Nechosim while the father is alive, he has to wait after the father dies. After the father dies, so the other Yerushim are not Mukhsa Kalpi Pashtun. So the Halacha says not so. The Mishnah is saying in the end of Baba Basra that the Nechasim, that the father was Mukhsakan, after he dies, whoever the Yerushim are, so the Yerushim are not called Mukhsak, even if it's not Tachas Yideim. That's the din of Brokar Davua. Whatever the Morish, doesn't have to be Dafka Bro with Avua, a father with a son. If it's a distant uncle, a distant cousin, whoever's in line to get Yerusha is considered Mukhsak. Just like the Morish who died was considered Mukhzak on the Nechasim, so whoever the Yorish is considered Mukhzak. So if you have a few people and they're running, so some people are Vada Yorishim, and one is a Safik Yorish. So the Halacha says that the one is a Vada Yorish is a Mukhzak, the one is a Safik Yorish is not a Mukhzak. And Hamoitza Mechaber, all of our right. So the Safik Yorish doesn't get any Nechasim. So that's what the Gemara says, is that what Shmuel discovered America? The Safik Mishnah is like that. The Ferish Adinim. You need Shmuel to tell us that then. You know from the Mishnah is in the end of Bava Basra. We don't know which one of them is the father. So of course he doesn't get. Whoever are the Yorshim Vaday of that father, children, grandchildren, cousins, whatever. So they're the Vaday Muchzakim. And this child, the Shtuki, whom we're calling him a Shtuki, is a Safik Yorish. They ain't Safik Mbaitim Dei Vaday, the Gemara says. Gemara says that the Vada Yorish is the Muchzak, and these fakers don't get. So what does Shmuel mean when he calls him a Shtuki? He can't mean that he's a Safik Mamzer, that's out of the question. And he can't be telling me Shemashtik Mos and Minich Seravid. That's a Dova Pasha. We don't need Shmuel to tell us that. Ella must be telling me a Chiddush thing that we never heard of from any other Mishnah. That if all see that's what the Rishonim point out. Shmuel said, "Asara Kohanim Omdim, Mefirish Echem and Reboal Avlat Shtuki." So the Gemara had a Hava mean a My Shtuki. What does he mean? Ilema Shemashtik Mosim Nitzayav that it doesn't get a Yerusha. So the Gemara should have asked Akasha. So why did Shmuel only give the case of 10 Kohanim? He should have said 10 Asara Anashim, Asara Yisraelim. What's that? This Asara Kohanim. So it has to obviously Shmuel didn't have something to do with Kohanim. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned that the people who, the 10 people, one of whom was Mezana with this single girl, were all Kohanim. So obviously, the final shot is the correct shot. The Rishonim says they don't understand what the Havamina was in the Gemara. The Havamina is out of question. Mashtig Mosim Nitzay Aviv. So what does he have to say? Asar Kohanim. So obviously, it has to do with Shemashtig Mosim Bidin Kohanim. That's a giveaway. That's why he said Kohanim. What is the Din? The Chsiv. We have a passing of Chumash that said, Bahoisalol Lazarat Abris Kohanas Oilom. So the mashmaus of the pasuk is that the only time the children have a din of a kohen is if we know who their father is. Even though we know the father is one of these 10 people, and all 10 are kohanim kshirim, they're not so kosher. I mean, they're all having affairs with single girls over here. One of them was mezana with the girl, but we know in hilchas kohuna they're all kohanim kshirim. There's no psul halalos or anything, and all 10 of them. So since you don't know who the father is, it's a sofik. So the Misha Zara Miyuchas Acharav, the children have the status of a kohen. Yot and Zet to the exclusion of this baby, Shein Zara, or to this man, Shein Zara Miyuchas Acharav. We don't know which one of the 10 Kohanim is the correct father. So since we don't know, so the child does not have a din of kohuna. So Taisus here, the little Taisus quotes the Gemara, Binan Zara Miyuchas Acharav. Taisus says, they just quoted Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf. This memory of Shmuel appears in Yevamos Daf Kuf on the base. So they quote the Gemara has a kasha against the Mishnah in Yevamos Daf Lamed Zayin. Umishani and the Gemara answers Boshub Shat. Leave out the kasha in the Teretz. Shmuel's din Zam Yechasav is only a din de Rabbanon. I the Gemara learned it out from a pasuk. The pasuk is only Asmachta the Alma. So this Zera de Rabbanon is only introduced V'chigaz Rabbanon Biznus. The Zera de Rabbanon is only introduced if they did something wrong, like over here. The 10 Kohanim are fooling around with a single girl. And one of them was Mizana with the girl. We don't know who's who. We don't know who's the father of the baby. Of Benisu and Loi Gaza. Mishnah Yavam is Daf Lamed Zayin that says that a baby is born, the first husband died, and she marries a second husband. She's an Almana, she marries a Kohen. We don't know whether the father of the baby is the first husband. They were both Kohanim. The husband number one was a Kohen, husband number two was a Kohen. We don't know which one is the father of the baby. So the Gemara says the first husband was a kohen, second husband is a kohen. So the child is going to be a kohen memelashot. The Mishnah says the child is right to be a kohen gadol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the child. So the Gemara asks Akasha, how can the child be rightly as a kohen gadol? But Shmuel says you don't allow him to do avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Mashtik mosim din kohuna. You don't let him do avodah in the Beis Hamikdash because the things are miyuchas achro. So the Gemara says this din of Shmuel is only agzera mid rabbanon, sort of a penalty. And they only introduced the penalty if they violated the Surah's nus, if they did something wrong. But Benisu and Loi Gozer, if the woman married Beheter, she has to shadow, they allowed her to marry, and then it turns out she has a baby after being married a few months with the second husband. We can't tell whether the first husband is the father of the baby, the second husband is the father of the baby. In such a case, they never made the Gzeir Drabon. Fine. That's the halacha, that this din of Shmuel is only a din with the Rabbana. So Rashi writes on this Gemara, three lines from the bottom of the page, Mashtikamosa b'din kuhunin. Two things, we don't allow him to do avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, and number two, we don't permit the child to eat truma. So that's what the Raavad in his Hasogus on the Rif on Daf Mem Hey in Yevamos, when the Gemara talks about Akam Abal Bat Yisrael, and they have a daughter, so the daughter is not permitted to marry a kohen. So the Raavad doesn't quote the Rashi, but he disagrees with Rashi. He refers you to this He says this halacha shemashtik mosi b'din kuhune is only midirabanan, only b'derachnus, a penalty, and it's only that we don't let him be makrav karbanus in the Beis Hamikdash, but we do allow him tichum. He says it's only a chumer midirabanan with respect to hakrabas karbanus in the Beis Hamikdash. Do we ever find such a parallel case of a chumer midirabanan that the pasal a kohen, the man minatar, the man is a kohen midirabanan, we don't allow him to be makrav karbanus in the Beis Hamikdash? So the Achrayim until the days of Rabbi Kiveger used to assume that Kohani Chazok, in the second parak in Ksuvas, the Gemara draws a distinction between Kohani Chazok and Kohanim Miyuchasim. The Psukim say in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah that when they came back at the end of the Shivim Shana of Golus Bavel and they rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash, so they had to ascertain who was a Kohen. Only Kohanim were permitted to be Makor Kabbanis in the Beis Hamikdash. The son of Kohanim had a Ksav Yichus that listed off, they are the sons of this father and this mother, and their father was a child of this pair couple, and this grandfather was a child of this couple, all the way back to someone who had the Makor Kabbanis at some time or another in the Bais Rishon. So whoever has such a Ksav Yichus was permitted to be Makor Kabbanis in the Bais Sheni. Those who searched for the Ksav Yichus and couldn't discover it, or those who just never had a Ksav Yichus, so the Lashon of the Pasuk is a big shuksavim hamasyachsim alomatso. They searched around, they were schlepping back and forth, they ran to Babylon and they came back from Babylon to Eretz Yisrael. So there's a lot of moving involved, so they can understand that they may have lost, they may have at one time had a Ksav Yichus and they lost it. So the Pesukim used the expression, whoever was big shuksavim hamasyachsim alomatso, whoever couldn't find it, it says, v'negoalu min hakuhuna. They were rejected from the kuhuna, they weren't permitted to be makor karbanos and the Beis Hamikdash. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, but they were assumed in Babel for so many years to be Kohanim that they used to do Pigin Aben and they got the first Aliyah and so on and so forth. So G'dayla Chazoka, since they were Becheskos Kohanim, even though they weren't Kohanim Yuchasim, they didn't have a Ksav Yichas, so they're permitted to eat Truma. They're permitted to continue eating Truma in during the period of the Bar Sheni. So that Halacha, that a Kohanim Chazoka, a Kohen who's assumed to be a Kohen, all he is, we assume he's a Kohen, but he doesn't have a Ksav Yichas, not a Kohen Yuchas, that he's allowed to get the first Aliyah and allowed to do Pidyon HaBen, and he's allowed to eat Truma, but he's not allowed to be Makor Karbanos. How are you supposed to understand that? What is it? It's a Sufik Kohanim. That's what many Achrayim, it was generally assumed to the days of Rabbi Kiveger, that such a Kohani Chazokah has the status of a Sufik Kohen. So a Sufik Kohen is not allowed to be Makor Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Shailu said, how does he eat Truma? So the answer is, the Truma Bizman is at the Rabbanon. Truma is only the Rabbanon. Yeah, but the Gemara sounds like it says Beferish. There's a machlekes where the Truma Bizman is as the Raisa the Rabbanon. The Rambam Paschkins and the Shulchan Aruch assumes, like the Rambam, the Truma Bizman is as only the Rabbanon. But there are other Tanan and Hall that is not so. The Truma Bizman is as the Raisa. And the Gemara sounds like it says that even, not only is the Kohani Chazaka, G'dayla Chazaka, that even though Kohanim, even though he's a Kohen, even though he's not a Kohen Meyuchas, he's only Kohani Chazaka, and we don't allow him to be makor kavanas, we do permit him to eat truma, even truma deraisa, the Gemara says. Even truma deraisa. So how do you explain that? If he's a suffic kohen, how does he eat truma deraisa? Is it a suffic baby is not a kohen? A zar who eats truma deraisa is misav de shamayim. So how do we allow a suffic zar to eat truma deraisa? How do you allow a suffic zar to do pigyon haben with a brocha? What's going on? The first aliyah, somebody has to get the first aliyah. So you don't know who's a kohen. So if I'm not a Kohen, so I violated the din of the Kiddush. We don't know. Maybe he's not a Kohen either. You don't know who's who. So somebody has to get what he's going to start from the second Aliyah. Start from that, leave out the first Aliyah. If there's no Kohen, so give yourself the first Aliyah. So you don't know who's a Kohen, so give the first Aliyah. Big deal. But how do you allow him to do Tigin HaBen with a bracha? He needs to give Zorba Chayayim Vakeba with a bracha. What's going on? How do they say a bracha? So that was always a problem. That's what the Achrayim on Yerideya raised that problem. As soon as I'm a Chalaf, they asked that. What's going on? All the Achrayim were before the days of Rabbi Kiveger. So they asked, what's going on over here? Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius and many others, they asked, how does he say a bracha when he goes up to Duchen? And how does he say a bracha when he does Pidyon HaBen, if he's a Sufik Kohen? So in the days of Rabbi Kiveger had a Talmud who was known as Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, after whom Pirat Tzvi was named. He was a big, religious Zionist leader. They started the religious Zionist movement, started many years before Herzl. So many tzaddikim organized this religious movement of Zionism. So one of them was, they were both Talmidim of Rabbi Kiveger, Rabbi Gutmacher, Rabbi Greiditz, he's a Rabbi Greiditz, Shdei Liyo is named after Rabbi Greiditz, and Tira Tzvi is named after, let's see, Hirsch Kalashid. They were very great tzaddikim. It may be an insult to them that these kibbutzim are named after them. They were very great tzaddikim, unusual tzaddikim. They were known as unusual. Especially Rabbi Greiditz, he was known himself, Bal Mofsim and everything, they were known as great Talmid HaChamim for sure. So Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher published his whole idea that we should build a Beis HaMikdash and Mimakru Korbanis, and we should go ahead, we should move forward. And he writes a whole essay in Drishas Tzion. The name of the book is Drishas Tzion. It was reprinted with footnotes now. Fancy publication now. So, and he writes in the book, he thinks he solved all the problems. So one of the major problems is that, how do you know who's a kohen? You have to have kohanim yuchasim. Kohanim chazaka are not allowed to be makor karbanos. So he had a suggestion that whole din that says in Sefer Ezra that kohanim bikshu ksavim hamasteachsim velo matzo and the goal of minha kohuna, that they're not allowed to be makor karbanos, that's only a chumra midrabbanan. Then our third, there's no need for kohanim yuchasim, even kohanim chazaka, gdela chazaka. If a person has a cheskes kohen, he's allowed to be makor karbanos also. And it's only a chumra midrabbanan that Ezra introduced at that time. You don't find it recorded anywhere earlier, in any earlier generation. Ezra introduced this chumra midrabbanan that kohanim chazaka are not allowed to be makor karbanos. And he only introduced the chumra. This is the punchline that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher suggests. Maybe he only introduced the chumra heched de'efsher. He only introduced the chumer if it won't make it impossible to be makor karbanos. Bizman betchilas vayisheni, they had enough kohanim yuchasim to man the Beit HaMikdash, so they could afford the luxury of observing this chumer midrabbanan, not to permit kohanim chazaka to be makor karbanos in the Beit HaMikdash. But bizman hazeh, if you don't have any kohanim yuchasim, you have one or two kohanim yuchasim, it's not enough to run a Beit HaMikdash. You have to go to sleep sometimes. So if you don't have enough kohanim yuchasim to be makor karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, then you revert back to the din d'oraisa. It doesn't make sense that the chachamim should introduce a chumra requiring kohanim yuchasim to the extent of making it impossible to be makor karbanos, period. That was his suggestion. So he sent this whole kuntres to his Rebbe, Rebbe Kiveger, who was maskim. He was maskim with everything in the kuntres. Then he sent, Rebbe Kiveger sent the kuntres to his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer, who was also maskim with everything in the kuntres. They didn't see what's wrong with building a Beis HaMikdash. They didn't hold you have to wait till Mashiach. None of them knew that there's a mosque on the Makom HaMikdash. It is not, there's nothing to discuss. The whole issue is Hilchos of the Mashiach. There's not, no Shaykh, there's no possibility to build a Beis HaMikdash. They were never there. Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher never visited Eretz Yisrael. So they all thought that the Makom HaMikdash is in a state of Churban. All we have to do is go build a Beis HaMikdash and get a couple of Kohanim and Makrib the Karbanos. So they all thought that it's okay. Then there were those who disagreed. The Binyan Tzion, Rabbi Yankif Etlinger, was a contemporary. So his collection of Shadows of Tshuvas is known as Binyan Tzion because the first two Tshuvas were sent to Rabbi Hirsch Kalasher explaining why he thinks he cannot do Binyan Tzion. It should have been called Shadows Tshuvas Enkam Binyan Tzion. Loi Binyan Tzion. Laharos Tzion. I don't know. The topic he discusses is the possibility of Binyan Tzion. So that's why he calls it the Binyan Tzion. I don't know, they had a very strange practice years ago when they would publish Shavas and Tshuvas. They would not publish them in any specific order, not in the order of Shulchan Aruch, and not in the chronological order in which the Tshuvas were written. Why they did that, nobody knows. That's a modern thing, that they publish Tshuvas now in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, or in chronological order in which the Tshuvas were written. But somehow years ago, they put it in the order that they thought was more important. So they put Binyan Tzion was the first two Tshuvas. They thought that was the most important Tshuva. They put those two first. So the Binyan Tzion opposed it. Rabbi Yankif Etlinger gave the source. He thinks that you cannot build a Beis HaMikdash without a Novi. You have to have approval of a Novi. It has to be done under the auspices of a Novi. That's what it says in the Sifrei. On the Pasuk L'shichna Sidushu Drosh Al Pi Novi. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash without having approval of the Novi. Where does it say? That's what it says in the Sifrei. Where does it say in the Gemara? So he has a Gemara. He thinks the Gemara is also relying on that Sifrei. The Gemara says in Yuma, the end of the first paragraph, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Bnei Yisrael, and he didn't, because they didn't come back at the beginning of the building of Bayis Sheni. Most of the Jews stayed behind. The religious Jews stayed behind. Only the Asara Yuchsin, only those who had the Shvacha Yichud, the Mamzerim and the Halolim and the Nisirim and the Gerim and the Zionists and the Apikursim, all those people came back to Eretz Yisrael. The real religious Jews stayed in Babel. So the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael, and he said he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. That's one of the things. He's not going to send any more Nevi'im, except he had to send Gimel Nevi'im all the way in Babel. He had to send Chagas Chai Malachi, because without them they wouldn't be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it sounds very much from the Gemara that the Gemara is assuming the Brisa and the Gemara, the Brisa and Makkis and Zvachim. So that Brisa seems to be based on the premise of the Brisa, this Sifrei that says L'shich Nesidush Rosh Al Pi Navi, that you can't build the Beis HaMikdash without being supervised by a Navi. So that's what the Binyan Sfir Taina, and that's what many later on, Rabbi Alba Soloveitchik, held from that Taina also, that you can only build the Beis HaMikdash with the approval of a Navi. So getting back again, the Ravid writes on that Gemara, the Ravid writes on that Gemara that this Din of Shmuel, he disagrees with Rashi. Rashi writes, Mashtika Mosim Din Kuna, this Din de Rabbanon, that Zaram Yuchas Sakhrov, Yotzezesh and Zaram Yuchas Sakhrov, the Taisa says only a din by the Rabbanon, it's not a din by the Raisa. If it goes Rabbanon, there's news, if you sue him by Gaza, that's what Taisa quotes a Gemara. They're just, if you know the Gemara, you don't need the Taisa. They didn't add on anything. You just say Gemara, you've almost up cool from the base. Taisa quotes it for those that don't remember it. So the Rashi writes, Mashtika Mosev and Din Kuna both, Shalayachal Betrumma, Shalayavad Avoid, and the Raivid and the Hasagas on the Rif, in the middle of Yavamas, Daf Memhei over there, disagrees with the Rashi. He doesn't quote the Rashi, he just assumes it only goes on to be Makriv Korbanim. So we're giving a dugma, Moshe Lamad Avadayim, to the way the later Achrayim, after the days of Rebbe Kiveger, it was assumed not like the earlier Poskim. It was assumed that the din of Kohani Chazoke, that they can't be Makriv Korbanim in the Beis HaMikdash, that's only a Chumer Midirabonim. Now, third, there's nothing wrong with Kohani Chazoke. And that's the real Teretz, that's assumed to be the correct Teretz of the Kasha. How can he say a bracha on pigin ben? How can he say a bracha on duchening? If he's a Safik Kohen, Safik ain't a Kohen. So how can he say a bracha? The Teretz says, no, he's a Vada Kohen. Kohen Chazok, a Vada Kohen. The Gemara says in the second parakeet, even afilu betruma deraisa, gedor l'chazoka. Then until now, in Bavel, they only used to eat the Shiv Mishon of Golos Bavel, they used to eat truma derabbanon. Chalas chutzla, they'll be tevil in a mikveh, and they would eat truma derabbanon. Now that they came back to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, gedor l'chazoka. Chazoka is so powerful. Even though the Chazoka was only to allow them to eat Truma the Rabbanon and Chutz Loretz, Chalas Chutz Loretz only the Rabbanon. Now that they come back to Eretz Yisrael, they can even continue to eat Truma the Raisa. They're L'Chazoka. So that's what the Poshep, that's what Rav Yosh Kalish said. And that was generally assumed that Kohanim Chazoka are good Kohanim, 100% Kohanim in Atar, just the Chumer, and the Rabbanon, not to allow them to be Makar Karbonis. So that's along the lines of this Raivit. The Ravid says that the Mashtika Mosev Din Kuna is only Legabi Avoid and Beis HaMikdash, not Legabi Achilas Truma. So the Ravid, let me just finish this, the Ravid has an interesting Einfah. He says if the father's a Nochri HaBoal Bas Yisrael, they have a daughter, so the daughter's not allowed to marry a Kohen, that's the Baiva like Shita Nigma, they were Machmaran, Bachatchili not allowed to marry a Kohen, but the Evid, the Pasim Shulchan Aruch, and this is like Teitzei, that's Shashver Adin, why is the Evid is Mutter? So the Ravid says the reason why, what's the Geter Hapsul? What's wrong? Akam Habal Bas Yisrael, what the Vlad is a Chalala? She's a Grusha, Zayna, Chalala. What did she do? Why is the daughter, what's wrong with the daughter? The mother is Nivala L'Pasala. The mother is a Zayna. Nivala L'Akam has a Psul of Zayna. But why, just because the mother is a Zayna, doesn't make the daughter into a Zayna. So why is the daughter not allowed to marry a Kain? What's the Psul? So the Ravid says, because she lacks yichas. The Halacha says the Kohanim have to be miyuchasim to be makriv karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. As we find a din de Rabbanon, this is a din de Rabbanon, Zaham miyuchas achrav. So he says that Kohanim have to be miyuchasim and Kohanim have to marry miyuchasas. How much yichas does the girl have to have? She has to have a father, that's all. She has to have a father. What if she's a Yisrael? No, that's okay. She had a father. The father passed away. The father died before she was born. Also, she had a father. It's also okay. The father doesn't have to be such a meyuchas. No, she had a father. To the exclusion of the case of Akam Habo Abbas Yisrael, that she has no father, al pidin. The halacha says she's only related to the mother. She's not related to the father because the girl, havlad halacha achar ha'aim. If the mother's Jewish, so the daughter is Jewish. The father's a nachri. So there's no yachas between a nachri and the Yisraelis, so Alpidin, the daughter only has a mother, she has no father. Not the same as the Yisraimo, that she had a father, the father died, so there's no human being who's a father, but she has She's planted by planet. She has alpidim. She's related to the father. Here, where the akum is the father, so there's no yachas at all between the father and the daughter. So the rabbi says that's the reason for the psul. Because kohanim have to be miyuchasim, and kohanim have to marry miyuchasas. To what extent do they have to be miyuchasas? So you should have a father. That's all. She doesn't have a father at all. It's a lack of the yichas. You get the sneaking, you get a sneaking suspicion from the way the rabbi presents it, as if the whole din is only with the rabbanim. The akum habor bas yisrael. The girl is, and they have a daughter, so the daughter is not allowed to marry a kohen. It's a question that Achrayim discussed, whether the suffix that the Gemara was discussing, whether Achma Abba Masnol, whether the daughter is allowed to marry a kohen or not, is it a speker deraisa? The Yamsha Shloim, and the Marshal wrote a speker Yamsha Shloim on Yilomit. So in Ebenezer, the Paskin quote from the Yamsha Shloim, the Pizchei Shuv, and the others quote the Yamsha Shloim, that it would have, they get the impression that this whole suffix in the Gemara is only a suffix the Rabban, and that's perhaps what led the Rambam to be Mekel. The Rambam, the Gemara, it's in Ibaidalev Shito, if the Akmal, Bas Yisrael, they have a daughter, if the daughter is allowed to marry a Kohen or not. So it's a suffix in the Gemara, and the Rambam passes Lahakel. How did the Rambam have the Rach HaKadosh to know Lahakel? So then he said, the answer is the whole suffix was only a Bayah to the Rabban. So suffix the Rabban Lakula. So the Rambam passes Lahakel. So we pass the Lahakmir, Lahatila, Loitinase, Nisus Loitase. So many say that's the reason why Nisus Loitase. The whole issue was only the Rabban in the first place. I mentioned before, Moshe Feinstein wants to be miyashiv the stock in Shulchan Aruch Nisus Loitase. Even if one will assume that the Dion is a Dion deraisa, maybe the daughter is not allowed in America, and maybe it's really an issue deraisa, you can still explain somehow why in Nisus Loitase. Moshe works very hard to explain such a possibility. But many hold like this Marshal that the whole thing is only the Rabban. So when you read this Ravid, you get that impression, because he's saying it based on this din. This din itself is only the Rabbanim, that you need the miyuchas. And the other Marshal that we mentioned, the Marshal that you need Dafke Kohanim Yuchasim as opposed to Kohanim Hazake, so Yish Kalasher and the later post came after the days of Rabbi Kavega, they all assumed, like Reb Tzvi Yishkalish and Reb Greg and some Sefer, that in itself is also only with the Rabbanim, that you need a Meyuchas to the exclusion of Kohani Chazor. So one perhaps gets the impression that the Rabbi also understood the Gemara, that Akam HaBom HaSisor, whether the daughter is Meteres Lekun, and maybe the whole Dion is only with the Rabbanim.
According to the
Sefer Haramah,
it says that if a Kohen comes in and says, I'm a Kohen, he says he can't do anything, he can't do anything in the Leah,
the question is, when the Rambam says that you need someone else to testify that he's a Kohen, you don't take his word for it, is that a din mid the Rabban or is that a din mid HaTorah? So the Magen Mishnah learns in the Rambam that the Rambam is only a din mid the Rabban. Mid HaTorah, a man comes and he says, I'm Jewish, he's Neman. That's a thesis in the beginning of Pesachim. Thesis shows from the Gemara. Gemara tells the story that there was a Nachri who used to come every year to Yerushalayim and he used to participate in Korban Pesach, and he fooled all the Rabban. And then he was bragging to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, who lived far away, there were no telephones, he was bragging to the rabbi, Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, that he fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. So then Rav Yehuda ben Beseira asked them, did they ever give you the alyo, the fatty tail, which is burnt on the Mizbech? So he says, no, why? He says, see, they know that you're a guy. If they would have thought that you're Jewish, they would have given you a yarn. They got your number. They know you're a guy. So the next time, and he said it with a straight face. So the next time the guy went to Yerushalayim, next Pesach, so he bought a share in the carbon Pesach, and then we're dividing it up. So he said he wants the Aliyah. So he said, the story can't give you a yarn. We burn on the Mizbech. So he started making whole fast. No, the rabbi told me to ask for the Aliyah. So he said, why? What are you, crazy? Who are you in Shabbat? Is there a Rabbi Ben Steer? So they investigated. They found that he was a guy, and the Gemara says they killed him. So you see from that, the Taisa says, they ask the question, why did they kill him? Why did they kill him? Well, what did he do? So he fooled them. So Geneva. The whole discussion, why did they kill him? So the Taisa points out on that story, you see from this Gemara, that if a person comes, at least if he comes in Yerushalayim, Bizman HaRega, at least that the Rav HaBoimul Fonenu are Yisraelim. So if he comes and he claims to be Jewish, and you believe him, that you say, Edecha Nemen Bisurim, to say that you are Jewish. So the Pashto says, the Magen Mishnah learns that, who are the Nami if a person comes and he says, I'm a Kohen. So Min HaTorah he's Neman. And when the Rambam says that you don't believe him, so the Magen Mishnah understands the Rambam that it's only a Chumer mid Rabbanon, because Maile Mitruma LeYuchsin. If you'll allow this fellow, if you'll believe him, that he's a Kohen, that he's allowed to eat truma, so the next thing you'll do is assume that he's a kohen with respect to other purposes as well. And for the other dinim, there's a dinim of the rabbanim that you need edim outside of himself. So in the rabbanim, we don't even allow him to get the first aliyah based on his own say-so. Min HaTorah he really is believed, and with the Rabbanu we don't believe him. That's what the Shach and Yerideya points out, that Bizman HaZeh, let's say after the war, and the Holocaust wasn't the only time that this happened. It happened many times that the Goyim wiped out a whole community, and this Goyim is the only survivor, and he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he comes to America, he comes to South America, whatever, and he says, I'm Jewish, and I'm a Goyim, and I was a Goyim in that community. There are no other survivors from the community here. May not be any survivors, period, from the community to ascertain that he's a kohen. So you mean you don't believe him that he's a kohen? So we assume that Pashto says that since Men HaTorah he's really Neman al Atzmo to say that he's a kohen. It's only a chumer, mid the Rabbana that we rely, that we require someone else outside of himself to say that he's a kohen. But if it's a Shas HaTzchak, we know that it's impossible to get anybody else. We know that the whole community was wiped out. And there are no other survivors. Whatever other survivors there are, they're not going to be in South America. They're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. You have no telephone. You have no way of contacting the other survivors. So then the Gemara has such a similar din that we revert back to the din deraisa, and we believe the fellow that he's a kohen. The Gemara has been again to a different din, that this Hadik Tzoyis learns the Gemara. That Min HaTorah, a man and a woman come, and the husband wants to divorce his wife. So, in a third, they are believed to say that they are husband and wife. He gives a get, and then the bezin gives the woman a tour. This is to ascertain that she was divorced. How do you know that that this is the husband and the wife who are married? Maybe the woman is an eshesish, and this is her boyfriend. And she wants to marry this guy. So the guy comes to a bezin, and he makes believe that he's husband number one. And he says, my name is Yankel Bereb Shmerel, and he's really the boyfriend. He wants to marry her after she's going to get the get. And then they give her a get, and they give her a tour. They give her a tour that she's divorced by her husband. And they'll go to a different city, to a different rabbi. She'll have the tour with the boyfriend, and he'll go and marry her there. So how can we take the guy's word for it? So the Gemaris, the Ksais HaKoshin, understands Pshat in the Gemara, that Min HaTorah, the guy is believed to come and say, I am pointing. Just like that Gemara, at the beginning of Sukkot, the person is believed to say that I am Jewish. The end comes and he says, I'm a kohen, so he's believed to say that he's a kohen. So Min HaTorah HaKoras Atzmo is good. It's only a chumra midirabbanan that you only give a get if makirim. You have to have at least a derechot to say that this is plainly. And if you don't have the Gemara has a whole sugi in Yevamos. Lama Tesam Beis Dishtamoy De'inu. When you write the Ksav Chalitza or Bayat, when you write the tour for the guests, you have to write, Ishtamaydina means Hikarnuhu. We have identified that he is the Yavam. We have identified that this is the husband. So the Gemara has a machloikis. How do we identify him as the husband or as the Yavam? So the maskon is Afilo Eidechot. Afilo Isha, Afilo Karveni Eidechot is good. Why is that? Because Min HaTorah, he's really Neman Alatzmo to say that he is the Yavam, or Neman Alatzmo to say that he's the Baal. The whole thing is only Achumer Midirabban. And then the Gemara in Gittin has a comment on the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Gittin that the Romans put a guy in a dungeon, in a prison, and he's screaming out. He screams out, "They're gonna execute me. They're gonna kill me. Go quickly! I live in such and such a city. My name is Pliny Ben Pliny. My wife's name is Pliny Bas Pliny. Write a get and give it to my wife, and she should be allowed to remarry." Because it's going to be a problem. Chalitza, I don't know how long I'm going to be in prison here. So he screams out, Misho Hayo Mushloch Babar. And he screams out, Kis Forget Lishti, this is my name, this is my wife's name from such and such a city. You're right to get, even though you don't know who in the world the guy is. We don't even see who he is. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, maybe he's a shed. Maybe he's not a human being, Bechlal. The Gemara says, we know he's not a shed. He's a real human being. So the question is, but how come? But the halacha requires you have to have hakara. So the Gemara says, you see from this Mishnah that b'shas al-tzak ha'svenos n'machol p'shem makir. If you have a shas al-tzak, it's b'leis breyer. So then you revert back to the Iker Adin Deraisa. The Iker Adin Deraisa is that he is Neman al-Atzmo. And that's Achrayim say, the Pizchei Tshuva quotes in Eben Ezra from the Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel is one of the earlier Achrayim, before the Pizchei Tshuva. So he writes that there was once an incident that a man came, the Merachakim, in order to do chalitza for the Yevama. And no one knew who he was, and he said he identified himself. He traveled a long distance, and he had no documents, he had no photo ID. The guards wouldn't let him in, but they let him into to the Bezin, and he said that he's I am Pliny, I'm the brother of the Nifter, and he did the Chalitza. So the Pesach Shua quotes in the Beis Hillel that it was the Ein Paisa Peh Metzafsef. All the Rabbanim allowed him to do the Chalitza. So the Shadis, but the Gemara says in the Seret that by Chalitza you have to have Hakor Min Pi Acherim, you have to have at least Hakor Eseid Echot. So the answer is, the guy traveled 500 miles, Mimar Chakim, in order to do the Chalitza, and there's no one else traveling from that Mokum plane. There's no one else going to come. It costs a fortune of money. It's not sharp. Today you have fax machines. You can have two Dad Zehut. You have different ways to identify who the guy is. You have telephones. But the Zman HaAchreinim, in the days of the early Achreinim, there was no way to identify who the guy is. So they say, B'Sha'as HaTchak. Ein Lucha Sha'as HaTchak Gadol Mitzvah. So B'Sha'as HaTchak, you write back to the Din Derech. So that's what the Magen Mishnah learns on this Rambam. That the Rambam says, a Niyam comes and he says, I am a Kohen. Minatur he is Nemer. That's only with the Rabbanon that you need Hakor and Pi Acherim. And by us, like the Shach quotes from the Achreinim, that by us, we live in the Sha'as HaTchak. Every time there's another pogrom, every time there's another Holocaust, that they killed out so many people from the community, there's no one else who's going to be able to testify on me that I'm a Kohen. I know I'm a Kohen. So B'Sha'as HaTchak, we revert back to the Din D'oraisa, and I am believed to say that I am a Kohen. That's what the Shach says, but the Minig is by us, that we don't permit the Kohanim to eat even Shumas Chutzlot, even Chalas Chutzlot. Why not? The Gemara says, if the Kohen is Toibul Akerio, as long as he doesn't have a Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufot, even though he has a Tumas Meis, or he has a Tumas Eretz Amim, or even though the Truma, the Chalas Chutzlot is Tamid, the Tumas Chutzlot, Tumas Eretz Amim, so still, it's only a Tumas Magas, not a Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufot, so in Shumas Chutzlot, you're permitted to eat it. As long as there's no Tumah Hayotza Olam Migufot, as long as it's not a Balkeri. So that's the Gemara says, that Kohen is Toibul Akerio, is also the truth. Either claim cotton before the age of 9, so he can't become a Balkari and be also dear, or after the age of 9, he's considered godel with respect to this. He's not bar mitzvah yet. He's not a godel in the sense of being a bar mitzvah, but he's a godel in the sense that he may possibly be a Balkari. So then, if he's a claim godel, he has to be toibul akario, and then he's permitted to eat the truma. So the Shach raises the question in Hilchas Challah. How come we never heard of anybody doing that as man as that? Let the Kohanim go to Mikveh and we'll give them we always burn the Chalat Tmeah. Why do we have to burn the Chalat Tmeah? Let the Kohanim go to Mikveh and we'll let them eat the Chalat Tmeah. Chalat Chutz Lord. So he answers, because we're all in violation of this din. They made the Takanas Chachamim, you have to have Hakor Mipi Acherim to identify that you are a Kohen. And there were so many pogroms over the years that we always came out to every Kohen today. He's in violation of the Lachatchilim and the Rabbanah. It's true, B'Sha'as HaTchak. We revert back to the Din D'oraisa that ain't Hakor HaSatzmo sufficient. So that's only B'Sha'as HaTchak. We revert back to that. Someone has to get the first Aliyah. So they say, okay, let him get the first Aliyah. Someone has to do the Pidyon HaBen. What are you going to leave the kid without Pidyon HaBen? Someone has to duchen. So we duchen, we say a bracha, and we do Pidyon HaBen, and we get the first Aliyah. But to go eat the Truma Tamei, I don't know what he needed for. Burn the Truma Tamei already. Well, you have to allow the Kohen to eat the Truma Tamei, relying on the Sha'as HaTchak, reverting back to the Din D'oraisa, leave it alone. So let's be machmer for the Din D'rabban. That's what the Shach quotes in Yeridah. I think he quotes it from the earlier Achranah.
What about if the Kohen has a Shtar Yichus? So then Yitaka would be able to eat the Chalas Chutzlaret?
I think that's what the Shach assumes, yeah. Then he would be allowed to.
What about those Kohanim, they say we go in the cemetery and we see 10 fingers on the Kaaba?
Mm-hmm. Moshe Feinstein thinks in his Shulis, he thinks that not necessarily so. A lot of times these matzevis are put up by people who are not learned, and the non-Jews have the name Kohen and Levi. So a lot of times, Grada was just in Eretz Yisrael, so one of the Rabbanim told me he spent time in Italy. He says a lot of Nochrim in Italy who go under the name Kohen and Katz and Levi, the mamish goyim gemurim. There are Kohanim and Levim who married Lachrios. And their children carried on the name Kohen and Levi. And everybody knows that they're goyim gemurim. So just because the Matzeva has the 10 fingers doesn't necessarily mean the people who make the Matzevas are not such great Tamid Chacham. But Moshe holds that it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's not a right that the person is a Kohen. So again, getting back to the Mishnah, Yud Gimel and Aleph, we're discussing two topics here. We're discussing whether the woman was mezaneh with somebody. Either she's pregnant or she's not pregnant. Okay, the two parts of the Mishnah. So there's one deal on the girl herself. Is she considered a nivul or a potel of psula? If later she wants to marry a kohen, is she allowed to? If a single girl is mezana with a pani habol apnuyo, pani habol apnuyo, a single girl is mezana. So there's one tana Rav Blazer who's all the opinion. Pani habol apnuyo shalol l'shemishus asua zayno. She becomes a zayno and asua lakuna. So the Gemara says in Yevamos we don't paskul like Rav Blazer. Leis nachosh l'hadar Rav Blazer. We're not choishes for Rav Blazer's opinion. That doesn't make her into a zayna. But if she's nivolo the pasulo, if she was mizana with, or even if she's nenso by a nachri, a cholol, a nos, and a mamzer, a nebuchadnezzar, one of these people, even though a cholol is hetagoma to marry him, but if she lives with him, whether single or married, doesn't make a difference. She becomes a nivolo the pasulo, so she's not allowed to marry a koi. So the one deal is going to be, is the girl allowed to marry a koi? So there's a machlekes hatanah mishina menes to say lekoshen evalti. I'm not nivul al apostle of psova. The second deal is going to be regarding the status of the vlad. She has a baby. So is the vlad going to be a mamzer, a sofik mamzer, a cholol, a nosin, or if it's going to be a girl, maybe it'll be psula lakuna, maybe it'll be psula lakuna. So this is the topic that the Mishnah is discussing. So it's a machlekes hatanoim. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer say nemanis. Rabbi Shua disagrees and he says loyim pihon uchay. She has no nemanis. She has no nemanis. The same expression appeared before. You base on the base of Gimel and Aleph in the first Mishnah. Rabbi Shua says loyim pihon uchay. You mentioned that some of the mefarshim that the Paris Yisrael quoted this pshat from the Gemara and Sota that there was a city in Eretz Yisrael, but they always told the truth because they always told the truth so that people never died. That they lived on and on and on. So they never died. So the Gemara says when they had decided that they had it, long they already lived 180 years, 280 years. When they decided that they had no more cheshek to continue living, so they would leave the city, and then they would get sick and they would die from old age. Suppose man they lived in the city, they wouldn't die. And what schus did they not die? Because the schus was that they never told a lie. So you see that if you always tell the truth, you're going to live an arichas yom. So that's what the Tzeris Yisrael Mishnah is quotes that suggestion. That's pshat in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Lomi pihon echayim." We're not going to be zechet arichas yomim based on what this girl says. We do not trust her. She has no emunah. Okay, that's the melitza that he uses is based on that city in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is going to say that we paskin like Rabbi Lezer, we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanis. Rabbi Lezer paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer. That the woman is nemenis against Rabbi Shua, who says the woman is not nemenis. On Amid Beis, there's a lot of topics over here to discuss. On Amid Beis, the Gemara quotes Nesve, around 15 lines from the top, and it says on the left side margin, Tosefta Sof Perek Aleph. So the Tosefta has an interesting tushtel. The Tosefta refers you to the Mishnah later. There is a din mid the rabbana here achov zayinam and beis. There is a din of shvuya mid the rabbana. A woman is in captivity, held captive by the nochrim. Achovavam and beis, achov zayinam and aleph. Mishnah is they made a gzeri mid the rabbana and a shvuya is asur lekuna. Min atarah the shvuya is mitaris lekuna. Unless the woman says on her own that she was nensa, the akum, she nensa, or she was mizana with the akum. If she's nival al akum, the oinis, or the ratzin, she's nival al the pasul of soma, she becomes asua lakuna. But let's say she's nishbiz, she's put in jail. They're Jewish girls who were held in under captivity under the Arabs, under the Nazis. Many Jewish women married singles who were held captive under the Nazis. So the din is that their asura is lakuna, midirabbanon. Because Medir Rabbana, we're machmer to assume that the woman may possibly have been a nivola to the akum. Achumer Medir Rabbana. That's a din of shvuya. Yeah, what if we don't know that the girl was a shvuya? Let's say, we have witnesses who say that the woman was a shvuya, and then she says, yeah, I was shvuya, but they didn't start up with me. They didn't touch me. So she's ain't in their manners to say that she's all the chumra midir rabbanan min ha-Torah. Even if you have 100 witnesses to say the woman is a shvuya, there's no later suffix. She has a cheskeset lakuna and there's no problem. And midir rabbanan, they made the chumra and the woman is not in their manners alasma. What if you don't have any witnesses who know that the woman is nishbeis? She comes into bed and says, nishbeisi, or tohairani. She says, I was nishbeis biyad anochrim, And in the whole time that they had me, they didn't start up with me. They were not ma'anis me, and I was not mezaneh b'rotzon either. So how do you know the whole issue that she's a shvuya? That's called shavi anafshi chaticha disur. The woman says herself nishbeisi. So if she says herself nishbeisi, it's oirani. That's called apesh asar hu apesh hita. If she was the source of the whole creation of the problem, that she says nishbeisi, so she's nemenas alatzma lahachmir. That's adam nemar alatzmi yosin meirish. That's shavi anafshi chaticha disur. So then she's nemenas to say nishbeisi it's oirani. This is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Later in the Masechta, the Machlokes in Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezra had a Paskin 2 days in the Mechaber, and the Pesach Shuvah quotes the Machlokes whether this Teshuasa Pesheiter only works if it's Terf Kedei Dibur. She says, Nishbeisi Yatarani Terf Kedei Dibur. Well, she comes to Bez and says, Nishbeisi. Then she comes back tomorrow and says, oh, by the way, what I said yesterday is irrelevant because Teherani. But yesterday she didn't say that. She wakes up tomorrow and she comes to the Bez and says, Teherani. But that's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. In a migu, if you have a case of a migu, the Rishonim call Peshas Peshita, they call it migu. The Gemara sometimes calls it migu. The Rishonim always call it migu. So if you have a real migu, a case of a migu in Mominis, so then Taisus proves from Gemara that migu lemafrei olay amin. Migu is only good if at the time that I advanced the Tainus tour, which really shouldn't have any Mominis, at that time I could have advanced the Tainus that would have had the Mominis. So if it's Tech Kedei Dibur, I say a whole story. And then Tech Kedei Dibur, I advance a tiny tour, which if not for the story that I just said before the tiny tour, I would have been Nemon to advance a different time in which I would have been Nemon. So that's a din of Nemonis Amigo. But if today I tell a whole story in business, and now I make it impossible to advance a tiny Kofra Hakalam, which I would have been Nemon, then tomorrow I come, not Techide Dibur, Vaha Kede Dibur, I come at some later time and I advance a tiny tour. So Migla Mafreya Le Amin and all the Rishonim agree to that. What about a Peshasa Le Mafreya? Peshasa is better than Migla. Peshasa is a different din. It's not the same as Migla. So that's a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds Peshasa Le Mafreya is good. And Tosfos holds the same as Migla. Just like Migla Mafreya Le Amin and Peshasa Le Mafreya Le Amin and also. Peshasa is only good if it's Terf Kedei Dibur of ruining my ability to advance the other time. I made the Peshas, I made the Shavi Anaf Shechatich and Yisura, and then Terf Kedei Dibur, I keep on talking, I advance the other time in which I make the Peshahita. But if it's not Terf Kedei Dibur, if it's a Peshas and a Mafreya, so Taisus Shita is that it's no good. And Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezra, it's a Machloek is 2 days in the Mechaber, and the Machloek is an Achrenim, whether we should be maker like Rashi, the Peshas and a Mafreya is good, or you have to be Machmad like Taisus, the Peshas and a Mafreya is no good. Whatever. So again, so if the woman comes and says herself, Nishbeisi Yitzharani, so that's a din of Peshaosav HaPeshit, because the only way you know that she's a Shvi is based on her own Shavi Anav Shechatitha Yisur. So that's the law, HaPeshaosav Hu HaPeshit. But what if we have two witnesses who say that the woman was a Shvuya? So that's a Chumr, when a Torah does mean anything, a Shvi, you don't, just because the woman was in a circumstance that she had yichud b'din achrim doesn't necessarily mean that they were ba'aleho. The halacha is that there isn't even a suffix. There's no latest a suffix. The woman has a cheskas eter and she's materis lekunin. It's a purely a chumer midirabanan that the shvu yasur lekayim. She's not an American. Maybe she was nemsa by the akum. So this din midirabanan shvu yasur lekayim is only if this is the way they were misakin. Only if you don't have an edechot who says that I was there and they didn't start off with her. What if there's an Edefa that says, I was there the whole time, and I know the woman herself is not Nemenesan herself, Tohirani, unless it's a Peshas, a Peshahita. What if we have independent evidence to establish that she was a Shvuya, then she's able in the Menes to say Tohirani. The Mishnah has an expression here on the bottom of Chav Zayin and Beis, the last line of the Mishnah, Eilo the Meid Alatma. The woman is not Nemenes Alatma. What if you have an Edechot, aside from the woman, to say Tohirahi, so then that's the way the Chachamim set up the institution of Shvuya. Some outside Edechot is Neman. Now the Mishnah has a Chiddush Gadol. The husband was there. The whole time, the husband and the wife were both in captivity together. And the husband, so we have witnesses who say the woman was a Shvuya, she becomes Asura Midirabana. But then the husband and the wife both say that, but the Nachum didn't start up with this woman. So the wife, we know, is Einan Neman. What about the husband? So the Mishnah says, the Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsov said, "Lazozo yodi mitoch yodi." My wife was imprisoned with me, and I was there the whole time, and they did not start up with my wife. So the Mishnah says that Baal Pi Ishtoi is considered like a Baal Dover. They ain't on a Meir Al Atma. The Takanas Chachamim was that a Shvi Asura Lekoyin, unless you have an independent Eid Echor, the woman herself is Ein and a Menes, and even the husband is also considered. Baal Pi Ishtoi is considered as if he's the Baal Dover himself, ain't on a Meir Al Atma. That's the Mishnah Chav Zayinu Beis. So the Pashup Shat is that this is all a Takanim of the Rabban. This is the way the Tanaim set up this Gzeir of the Rabban of Shvuya. They invented a Chumra of Shvuya. And to the Chumra of Shvuya, they invented a Kula. If you have an Eidechot, it's going to say that she was Tahira. It's good. And they invented the first thing is, first they made a Chumra of Shvuya. You have to have Eidim to say the woman is a Shvuya. Then they said if there's an Eidechot, it says that Tahira he, so the Eidechot resolves the issue of Shvuya. Then they invented a third thing, that if that Eidechot is the Baldova herself, the woman herself, Eidon Neman Al-Yidei, then they developed the fourth din, the Baal Ki Ishtai, so the husband is considered as if he's the Baal Dover, also in the Nemes. So it sounds like it's four dinim, the whole thing was invented mid Rabbah.
Do you understand the Pesha also as the Shabbat Nashay, and then comes the Pesha Yitir? So if he tells us if she has an Anasla about why she might have first and it wasn't the Baal Dachas, would you agree when he comes?
Yeah, if the woman says Nishbasi, and then a year later she says it's not true, and the reason why it's in this base is because of reason X. And the Bezin is satisfied with the explanation that she gives, why she said this detrimental statement that she's a Shvuya. So then the Gemara says you can undo a Shavi Anaf Shechatichat Yisura with an Amasla if it's to the satisfaction of the Rabban. Right, right. If she has an Amasla, then she backs out from the whole thing. That's not based on a peshos, a pesha eats it. A maslo is always lacha kach. Maslo is always not terch de mi. Yeah, that's correct. So this is a question. The four dinim that they invented mid the rabbanon on chav zayinam and beis. The first din is yesh meyayin from outer space. They made a chumim mid the rabbanon that shvuya asu alakoy. A chumim mid the rabbanon. The second din they made is there's a chumim mid the rabbanon. But if you have an eidach, but it says that tahirahi. So then there's no prohibition of Shvuya. The third thing that's a shadow, what about all the women during the Second World War who were held captive by the Nazis? The Nazis were ma'anis, many of the women. So if the woman says, Nen asti ayde akum, so she's psuva lakuna, okay. What if the woman says, Nishbeis, what if the woman says, Tahirani? Well, we know that she's Shvuya, she has the number on her arm. She can't deny it. There's no pesha as a peshita. We know she was held captive by the goy. Well, let's say during the Mohammed HaShechrut, many women were held captive by the Arabs. So we know that they're Shvuyas. So if the woman doesn't have a Teshuah, so then she's Ein HaNemenes to say Tahirani. So the second din is that if you have an Eid Echod, it resolves the issue of Shvuya. The third din is that the Isha is Ein HaNemenes Alas. And the fourth din is a Baal Ki Ishtoi. So the Baal Ki Ishtoi, okay, that we can understand that's based on a din deraisa. There is a din of Baal Ki Ishtoi. Okay, that's an extension of an application of a din deraisa. What about the third din? Ein Odom Neman Al Yedeya. Ein on a Meir Al Atzmo. Ein on a Meir Al Atzmo. That's a din that they invented mid the Rabbanon. It's the whole series of dinim. 1, 2, 3, 4. All the four sifim. The whole thing was invented mid the Rabbanon here. So this din, Ein on a Meir Al Atzmo, this was part of the Takanas Chachamim Legabi Shvuya. Is that what the story is? So the Pnei Yeshua on that Mishnah raises the possibility, and that's what it sounds like on Adav, on your Gimel and Beis, like that Pnei Yeshua. And this Pnei Yeshua is quoted in Yeridaya, Flamega on the side of the Yeridaya, even if you don't know all the other Pnei Yeshua, but this one you got enough, it's quoted on the side in the Yeridaya. There's a Simit Kuf Chav Zayin in the beginning of the second Chelik Yeridaya that talks about the Dinim of Eidecha Nem and Bisur. There's a little Eidecha Nem and Bisur in Simit Aleph also in Yeridaya. What's it doing in Simit Kuf Chav Zayin? Why does it take 127 Simonim to get to Eidecha Nem and Bisur? Because in the Gemara in Gittin, the discussion of Eidecha Nem and Bisurim is presented in the context of Stam Yenom. So the beginning of the second Chelik Yeridaya, there's a big discussion about Avodah Zarah and Yayin Esach and Stam Yenom. So when they talk about the Stam Yenom, so they quote all the Gemaras in Perek HaNizok and in Gittin, Omaloy Eidecha Nistasach Yenecha. I have a house full of barrels of wine, and I was away on vacation. So Nedecha comes and he tells me that Nochri came in and he opened up all the barrels and it was Menasach the Yayin in love with his heart. So when is the Nedecha believed and when is the Nedecha not believed? So because in the Gemara it was quoted in the context of Stam Yenam, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in that context. The Rambam takes all the Gemaras and he puts them all in order. And the Shulchan Aruch takes all the Rambams and he puts them back out of order. He puts them back into the order that they appeared in the Gemara. So that's why you have to be a baki. To find something, so you've got to be a big baki to know, you have to know the Gemara. Where was it? Where was the original source? And where does the Ein Mishpat tell you where is it going to be found in the Shulchan Aruch? The Rambam is for people that you don't have to be such a baki. You look in the place that it should appear logically, 99% of the time that's where it's going to be in the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch, you got to know all the Gemaras. So in Sima Kuf Chav Zayin, they have the whole discussion of Eidecha Nem and Bistur, all the details. So Shlomo Eger, that is the son of Rabbi Eger, has the Gilya Masho on the side of the page. It's printed in all the standard editions. And he quotes this Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua raises the possibility that the third din in the Mishnah, Eidon Nemon, Eidon Meir Al Atzmai, maybe that's a din deraisa. Maybe that's not an invention with the Rabbanon that they invented with respect to the parsha of Shvuya. He said, a Shvuya is Asur Lakune, but if you have an Eidech, it is Materis, but the Eidech has to be someone outside of the woman herself. The woman herself is Ein and Amenis. They sure raise the possibility, maybe that's a real Din Deraisa. And here they just borrowed an already existing Din, and they applied it to this case. Once they made a Din of Shvuya, that is Shvuya Asur Lakune Midirabbanon, because the Choshesh Shem Anenso, Bideho Akum, and they said, if you have an Eid Echad, it's good. The Eid Echad says, Tehoirahi, Loi Nitma, Loi Nenso. But that Eid Echad can't be the woman herself. That because, and so maybe that din is a din derais. Maybe the din is a baldover himself is Eina Nema. Maybe that's the, even in the parsha of Eid Echad Nema Bisurim, you would say a baldover is Eina Nema. That's what the Pnei Yeshua suggests. That's the simple reading in our Gemara. On your Gimelon base. On Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes this Tosefta. That 15 lines on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes the Tosefta. It's the last Braisa in the Tosefta Perik Aleph in Ksuvis, which causes over this Machlokes Hatanaim. Rabbi Amleir of Lezer say Nemenes. Rabbi Shua says, "Let me pay on a Chaimen and Nemenes." Rabbi Shua says, "How can it be Nemenes? Well, we have a cloud, eight on a Nemon, Al Yedei Atzmud. Aren't you Moida that by the Shvuya, the woman is Ein and Amenis, unless you have a Pesha Osa, Pesha Iter, unless we didn't know about the whole story through outside evidence, we only know from the woman herself that she's a Shvuya. So since the whole source of information is the woman herself, Shavi Anash, Chetichad Yisura, so then she's going to be an Amenis to say, Nishbeisi Yitahoirani. That's a Pesha Osa, Pesha Iter. Despite the fact that she's a Baldovar, and Baldovar should not be Nemon, Baldovar is not Nemon when you need a new Parsha of Nemon. But a Pesha Osa, Pesha Iter is comparable to Chazara Terch Kedei Dibur. Let's say I said, especially the way Taisu says, Taisu says that Peshasa Lamafrei is no good. You only apply Peshasa Terch Kedei Dibur. So what if a woman says, Nishbesi, I was Nishbis Biyad Akom, and she talks and talks and talks and talks and talks the whole hour, Kedera Hanashim, and then at the end she says, well, the whole thing is a joke. But I didn't mean it, I just wanted to have a good imagination. It's just poetry. It's just, I made up a whole novel. That's all. I'm going to write such a novel. It's basic. But the whole thing is not true. So she managed back that to her Kedidib. She tells a long story, whole hour. And then she says, this is the novel that I'm going to write. But it doesn't correspond to it, nothing else. So she backs that to her Kedidib. It's good. So Taisa says that Peshas HaPeshahitir has to be Terch Kedidib. If you back out Lacha Kedidib, Peshas HaMafir is no good. Like Nigel HaMafir is no good. So if you back out Terch Kedidib, so that's like Chazor, Terch Kedidib. Yeah, so that's like Chazar. It's not that the woman is nemenis to say Tairani, despite the fact that she's a baldova. No, Peshasa Peshita just crosses out the Peshasa. There is no Peshasa Peshita. It's like Chazar Terkadidim. But if you wouldn't have a Peshasa, then Rabbi Yeshua Tainas, then the Mishnah says if you don't have a Peshasa, then the woman is not nemenis Hayliyasma. So Yeshua understands, sounds like he understands like that to Yeshua. That's a din, not only a part of the Takana de Rabbanon. It's not a din in this little corner. They made a Takana of Shvuya, and the Shvuya to have an Eidechad, she's with Teres with Koyin, but the Eidechad can't be the woman herself. It's not just a local din over here in Shvuya. It's a universal din, possibly even a din there, right? So the Tanya Yeshua says, Eidonim made al Atzma. If the person is the Baldover, he's not believed on himself. Oh, so that's where Shlomo Eger asked that kasha, and Yeridei Simukuf Chazayin. The Taisvis is a machlokes Amaroyim in the Yerushalmi, and a machlokes Harishonim in the beginning of Gittin. What is the source of the institution of Eidecha Nemen Bisurim? So Taisvis has adopted that position in the Yerushalmi that is based on the pasuk Yisofer Lo Liatzma. That's on that fine base. The Gemara learns that from the pasuk. The more learns that from the pasuk here, Vayikra Tezvav, and 9 days from now, 15 lines from the bottom. It says by Azova counts Shevinikim, and she's not menace to say that the dam ziva stopped. She made Hefsektara, and that she made Shevinikim. Asafra lo liatzma. The woman is not menace herself. So Rav Shlomo Eger asked the kasha, isn't that Mamish the Baldover himself? The woman is not menace on herself to say that she is that she was made the bedikas and she was tayvel in the mikvah. So you see that Erech Nemisurim applies even to the Baldover. So perhaps the answer is that that's not really a Baldover. See, this issue as to whether the woman is a Zavah or not is negeh to Gan's Klal Yisrael. It's negeh to all the men. Whoever's going to be Bala will be Chayv Karis. A Bala Zavah is Chayv Karis. It's even relevant to all the women, because whoever touches her becomes an Avatumah. If you touch her, becomes a Rishon Atumah. The Zavah is an Avatumah. Whoever touches them becomes a Rishon Atumah. So it's negeh to everybody. So what are you going to say that the issue as to whether the woman is a Zavah or not, since it's relevant to the woman, so the woman is called a Baldover? No, it's relevant to Gan's Klal Yisrael, to all the men and all the women, all the children. Whoever's going to touch her is going to become Tomei. It's relevant to everybody. So you can't declare the woman is a Baldover because it's relevant to her, because it's just as relevant to everybody else. So how you want to declare that she's a Baldover? Because you're talking about her. You're not talking about something that she did. You're not talking about something that she did. When the woman becomes a Zavah, she becomes a Zavah because she took pills and she brought it upon herself. No. She becomes a Zavah. Sometimes she'll bring it upon herself. Sometimes she'll become a Zavah naturally. Anita Zavah, it happens naturally. And the bedikas that the woman does, that's just to ascertain that the dam stopped and that there's Shivinikim. It's not a halacha that she's not the Baldover. She's not the Balamaisa. It happens that she's doing the bedikas just to check. But she's not really the Balamaisa over here. She's not the Balamaisa. She doesn't make herself into a Zavah. Even if she caused the riyah, and even let's say she's in the middle of riyah, she's taking pills to stop the riyah sadam. You don't say that she's the bala maisa because she stopped the dam. The dam, she would have become tahor even if the dam would have stopped by itself. Even if she had to have medical assistance by using pills. So the pashta said you could argue the point over there and say that the woman herself, the nida, the zava, is not called the baldova over here. To say that she's the Baldover because the issue is relevant to her, it's relevant to everybody. Relevant to Gan's Klal Yisrael, you're going to say that everybody's a Baldover. You can't use that definition of Baldover by Issa Deheta, because everybody's a Baldover. The only definition you can use is the Bala Maisa. So she's not really the Bala Maisa. Her becoming a Zav and her becoming Taira, it didn't necessarily have to be done by her. The Gemara says that if a woman is a Chareshes or a Shoto, Other women can make the bedikas for her, and to ascertain that she had a hefsek tara and that she counted shemunikim. And other women will be matpal her, and the mikvah she'll become a teres. So she's not the bala maisa, not by the riyah, and not by the bedikas, and not by the trila. These things could have happened by themselves. Just because she does it doesn't make her into the bala maisa. So it could be that that's not considered a baldover. Could be that that's not considered a baldover. Where do you have a Baldover here? On Chav Zayin on the days, where you're discussing whether the woman was Nivala to the Akum. Even though the woman, let's say, was Nensai de Akum, she didn't want to participate, she was forced into it, but still it takes two to tango. A Maisa B is done by two people. So true, she was Nensa, like the Mishnah has, Maisa B Tener Kishiyar de Lamalus Malim, Mayim, Mino Ayin, the Mishnah and Yudal on the days, but still, even if Nensa, so it means that she Al Pidin participated in the Maisa Iznut, and the Maisa Tashmish with the Nafri. So the Bala Maisa is Alpi Din considered the Baldover. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua raises the possibility. Maybe this is a Din Daraisa. Maybe the first Din, the Shvuya Asur Lukuna, that's a Din Min Rabban. If you have any, therefore, it resolves the issue, that's a Din Min Rabban. But this Din, that a Baldover is not Nemun, whenever you need any, therefore, Baldover is not Nemun, maybe that's really a Din Daraisa. Maybe they're just applying the Din Daraisa to this case. Maybe number three was not an invention of the Rabban. Just like number four doesn't seem to be an invention of the Rabban. The Balki Ishtoi, so just like the Ishtoi, is considered a Baldover, so the Balki Ishtoi is also considered a Baldover. So the Ravid learns in the Sugya Pagina Dibura in Sanhedrin Daf Yonah Menal, the Ravid learns that that's a Din Daraisa. So the fourth Din, the Balki Ishtoi, is considered, the Baal is considered a Baldover. According to the Ravid, that's a Din Daraisa. We're just taking a Din Daraisa and applying it here. So din number three, that's what the Pnei Yeshua suggests. Din number three may be a din deraisa. That's what it sounds like on our daf. And the Tosefta that they quoted on the Gimel and Beis, they quote Tosefta, so Paragala, think Subish. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Amar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua argues with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer, Iyatem Oidim, don't you know that there's, don't you admit to me, Bishwiya Shenizhviz, Yesh Leidim Shenizhviz, Yamer Sarani Shein and Emenis? A woman is not Nemenis Alatzma. The halacha is that a Baldover is not Nemen Alatzma. And Rabbi Yeshua wants to extend the din over here. There's never, we never give Nemenis to the Baldoverim. So how do you know make a Tushtel? That's part of the Takanas Chachamim. That's a package deal when they instituted the din of Shvuya. So they said the Baldover is not believed. They're going to say the Baldover is believed, so there's not going to be a din of Shvuya. So that's part of the package Takana of Shvuya. So how does Rabbi Yeshua know it's a Shtel Tzu, it's a Reif, it's a din from over there to over here? The answer is like the Pnei Yeshua sounds like. That din number three, and that Mishnah, on Chalazayim Beis, that din is really a din derash. What's the Biur Hadover? What's the Hezbra Hadover? So Rav Shimon Shkop has the Biur for this. I think Rav Shimon Shkop, if I'm not mistaken, the Shari Yosha says the Hezbra, why the Nida Nezava? I think he says that why the Nida Nezava is not considered the Baldover. The answer of Shlomo Eger's Kasha, because she's not the Balamaisa, she didn't bring it on herself, the Riyah, and she doesn't, she's not the one who's in charge of removing the Riyah. Other people can do the Bdikas just as well. It just happens that she's doing it. The Baldover is only the Baldover that we want to pass on, Mikir Adin, is the Balamaisa. That's by Nivel Alakum, so she's the Baldover, because the Maisabir, it takes two people to do a Maisabir, even though it's Boinus, but still, she participated in the Maisabir Boinus. So where does this idea come from? Where does this notion come from that the Pnei Yeshua wants to say? It sounds like when it's a Sefer, it sounds like it's a real din deraisa. So this is Yodua from the Raivet Shita in Pagina Diburim. There is an Estidus in Choshen Mishpat in Simon Lamed Vov. The Estidus quotes from the Tumim. Tumim is by the Rebbe of Yonis and Abishus. He quotes a lot from the Tumim. He always quotes from the Tumim. So he quotes a chiddush from the Tumim. There is a din in the Mishnayos and Makkos in the first place. There is a din. The three witnesses come to Bezin to testify. And two of them are kosher. And one of them is posel. One of them is a ganav. One of them is a rasha. So the Mishnayos learn out from the Pesukim that there's a din of nimtzech and menedim. Karev posel, edis kulam teo. If one of them is posel, one of them is a rasha, karev, so the whole testimony is no good. So what would the din be if three witnesses come to testify? Two of them are kosher. And the third one happens to be a parrot. And the parrot says, yeah, I saw everything that they saw. And he says everything. A guy showed me he has a parrot that talks Yiddish. The guy in Queens, he has a parrot that talks Yiddish. Because he was brought up in a real... So let's say you have three witnesses come and testify. Two of them are kosher eidim, one is a parrot. Parrot is not kosher eidim. So you're going to say, nimsech and menedim karpol. Nah, so that's not even discussed by the two. He doesn't even raise such a possibility. Why not? The answer is it's not a kat edim. If he's not even a human being, so it's not been starved to the kat, so it's not been sechen meredim karpo. So the Tumim assumes that's a double poshet. If the third one is a parrot, you don't say karpo poshet. He says there are six people, where six human beings, where you don't apply the din of din sechen meredim karpo poshet. He says, cherishoy to the katan, ever akum isha. He says, these six people are never kosher ladies anywhere. They don't have a shame aid at all. So you can't say if you have three witnesses, nim sechen minha edim. Shnai made him share him, and there's a third guy who came to tell a story, but he's not called Nimsa Echad Min Ha'edim. He's not Echad Min Ha'edim. These six people are like a parrot, that for sure there's no din of Korotah. So that's the Nesivus and Simon Lamavav, that's the Simon Chosh Nishpa Nimsa Echad Min Ha'edim. He quotes that line from the Tumim, one line stuck in the Nesivus has two parts. He has the Chidushim and he has the Biurim. We would have called it Taker. The Chidushim are the short piske halacha. It just gives you the din is this, din is that. But this is in the Chidushim. And the Biurim are what we would call the Chidushim. When he has a long receiver, he argues with the Ktais and he quotes, that's called the Biurim. So in the Chidushim he has, this is one of the Chidushim. Piske halacha are called the Chidushim. Because the Chidushim are printed in block letters. And the Biurim are printed in Rashi script. So this is in the This is in the Chidushim. So the Ravid has the unique Shita. He disagrees with all the Rishonim in the Sugya, Pagin, and Dibura, and Sanhedrin, Tesham, and Basin, Daf Yud. The Ravid says, with this background, once you know this Tumim, that there are six people, and there's one by the parrot, you don't always apply the din of Karpa Pasa, only if you have a group of three Edim, Nimtzach and min ha'edim karav apostol. So when is he called an eight apostle? If he's a karav or he's a Russian. But if he's a cherish to the chat and abed akamisha, he's not even called echad min ha'edim at all. So the rabbi writes, what if the third person who testifies is the baldover himself? So the rabbi interprets in the Gemara in Makis on Davav and Menal, the Mekayim Davar Tosam and Davar, if the third witness is the baldover himself, a baldover doesn't have a shemay, and it's not called Nimtzach and Ma'ed. That's how they write it in Rashi. Rashi seems like he learns like that also. Rashi in Sanhedrin does not agree with the writer. Rashi in Makis learns that Gemara like the writer, that the din of Nimtzach and Ma'ed and Korb Apostle doesn't apply to the baldover himself, because the baldover is not called an eight apostle, doesn't have a shemay at all. So that's where Rav Shimon Shkop in the Shari Yoshe wants to explain this to Yeshua. Yeshua is trying to say a din d'oraisa over here. Yeshua is suggesting maybe this third din in the Mishnah Chavzayim and Beis, maybe the third din is a din d'oraisa. That's what it sounds like on Yud Gimel and Beis. But in the Lashon HaTosefta, the Rav Yeshua is arguing with Rav Lezer, Rav Gamliel, he wants to be mitzarf the din from Shvuya to over here. Well, what's the whole zero? The answer is no, the din by Shvuya is a din d'oraisa, that a baldover is not believed. Why? Kroivim are acceptable by Rechonem and Bisurim. And Ganovim are also acceptable. Let's say a guy, he's a Ganov for profession, but he's strictly Orthodox. Benodam Namakom, he's very medactic, and Benodam Machaber, he's very mizalzal. But that's what the Gemara says, that's common psychology. Just because he's mizalzal and Benodam Machaber doesn't mean he's going to be mizalzal and Benodam Machaber. So the guy can be the biggest crook in business, he cheats Jews and non-Jews alike. But when it comes to kashrus, he's absolutely glatt kosher l'mahad. So the din is that you can eat by his own. He has nemanis, even though he wouldn't have nemanis and mamanis and nefashis, adobish of the erva, ganat is pasalatis, but in echad nemi bisurim, he has nemanis. So that's only by medvar mamurim, if you have a korev or you have a ganat. What if you have the baldover himself? He doesn't even have a shemei. He doesn't even have a shemei. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua is trying to be mechadish. That if in the Parsha of Eidus the fellow doesn't have a shemed at all, so then you can't even apply the din of Eidech Adem and Yisur. Yeah, if this is so, if this suggestion were correct, if the Pnei Yeshua would be correct, then the next logical step should follow to say that the six people that were mentioned, okay, the parrot is also, there's no din of Eidech Adem and Yisur, mask it. But then the next step should follow that the six people who are mentioned by the Tumim, quoted by the Nesivis, are also does not derive Echad Amisur. So the Cheresh had to be cut, and that's Taked Adin. And the Akum is Taked Adin. But the Isha and the Eved, is not, I'm not Nemanim. So how do I go home and eat food? How do I know? Maybe my wife is guilty, maybe Basa Bechola, maybe it's Nevelis and Trefus. You don't apply Echad Amisurim by Isha. They'll make life impossible. Everybody relies on an Echad Nemisur, we rely on an Isha. So we're going to say like this argument of the Pnei Yeshua that Eidecha Nemisurim, you can't rely on a Baldover because a Baldover doesn't have a Shemaid at all. So she followed that all the six people that don't have a Shemaid, the Akum is Taka'ina Neman. But what about the Isha with the Evik Nanya are not Nemanim? Never heard of such a thing. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over the story. There is a sefer called Divrei Emes. Shardus of Truth, Divrei Emes, authored by a rabbi in Constantinople in the 1700s, who was known as the Becha David. So he has an essay where he quotes a group of Rishonim who takasei like that, that Eidecha Nem Rishonim doesn't apply to Isha. How do you rely on your wife, on your sister when you come home? That's because of Ruba Deleisa Kamon. If you know that they are religious, they're observant, so the Gemara says, let's say, a person in the days of the Tanan, there was an institution of Amhoretz and Chover. The Amhoretz was Choshed ala Maisris, and you're not allowed to eat anything by him, even if he swears on a Sefer Torah that it's gemaisit, you can't trust him. So the Hashudim ala maisis, and the Chaverim were those who were medactic and afrashis trumas and maisis. So the Gemara has a din in the first parak of Pesachim, in another place, Chavish anais. A religious person dies, and he has a house full of food. He just brought it in from the farm today. He didn't have too much time, he got a heart attack and he died. He didn't have too much time to be makrish trumas and maisis. And he didn't tell us one way or the other before he died. He didn't tell us what is gemaisit or not. So you can't rely on it. Echad nemi bisurim. He didn't tell us anything. So the Gemara says it's okay. Chavish and meis v'hiniach meguro malei paris. He leaves an oitzer full of fruits or vegetables or grain, whatever. So the Gemara says we assume that everything is gemaisit because of the ruba d'leisa kamon chazak al chaver sheni moitzer mitachas yada dav sheni mitzvah. So ruba d'leisa kamon that a religious Jew who's medakta kankashas will not leave around the house non-kosher food. He's not going to leave around the house non-gemaisita food. So that's what the this group of Rishonim say. Strictly speaking, an isha doesn't have them on us. So if a woman tells you that the food is kosher, you can't rely on that. Anisha doesn't even have a shame aid at all. But if you personally know this woman, this is your mother or your wife or your sister, you know that she's an observant person. You know that they're religious. They will never be machshel you in eating macholas asur. So it's a rubin the leisa come on that the food is kosher. They give you the food, it doesn't help eidechanem visurin, but it's a chazoke, rubin the leisa come on, that the woman is anisha chavera, we know her personally, and she wouldn't be machshel you in non-kosher food. But let's say someone comes, you don't know who in the world the woman is. A woman comes and she tells me that I'm religious and I'm kosher and this is kosher food. So then these Rishonim would say that you don't apply it by Noshim. You don't, we don't apply it by Noshim. So then she told over this Tshuva, the Divrei Emes, they reprinted the Divrei Emes. And 40 years ago, I don't think it's sold. It's a boring safe. It's that was what the Rav told over a story. That whenever the Rabbonim in Poland used to get together, they used to talk Divrei Torah, and then they used to talk the politics that they had to work on. So on one occasion, Rabbi Zalcharis, Rabbi Zalcharis was there. So he said, when he dies, he's going to bring the Nadiv Yehuda to a Din Torah for 5 rubles, that he was mafsid him, that he was looking at the Nadiv Yehuda's tshuvas. And he always, in the beginning of the tshuva, he writes to whom the tshuva is being written. So he writes, L'chod HaRav HaGoyin HaMafursum, such a great Goyin, the Becha David, the Rabbi Constantinople, V'ala Mechaber, Shalas HaTshuva, Divrei Emes. So he went and he put together 5 rubles in order to buy this Sefer Divrei Emes. Then he bought the Sefer, a piece of junk. That's Svardish Sefer, he just chazes over what everybody says. A lot of times the Svardim have such a style, they don't write anything new, they just gather together like an encyclopedic article. He didn't need an encyclopedia. He was a bucky. Rabbi Zalcharis was a bucky. He didn't need it. So he says he's going to bring the Nadiv Yehuda to Din Torah for the 5 rubles he was mafsid him, that he bought the sefer on his sort of on his recommendation. He never saw the Nadiv Yehuda. Nadiv Yehuda died there many years before. But he says he's going to assume why he was mafsid him the 5 rubles because he wrote such titles about the Becha David. It happened that the shaila that the Nadiv Yehuda wrote about didn't happen in Constantinople. It wasn't the shaila that was sent there. The shaila happened in the Nadiv Yehuda city. And the Baal Shem Tov was there. And they both asked it. The shaila of the nation of Sish is in a famous tshuva, tshuva ayin beis. And Chelek Evin Ezra. So the Baal Shem Tov was not a good politician. So he asked, he screamed the woman as Asur Labayla and they kicked him out of town. He had to run out of town because he humiliated the husband. The husband was a Tamachacham and he passed him that his wife is Materis Labayla despite the fact that she was Mizana. And then Yehuda was a better politician, so he didn't get kicked out of town. So he wrote a tshuva to Asa, the woman of Baila, and he sent the tshuva to Constantinople, as if the shaila was sent from Constantinople. Shaila was in his backyard, it was in his city. So he printed it as if the Becha David had sent him the shaila. The shaila came from his town. They didn't have real mail delivery in those days. So supposedly, that's what Rav Soloveitchik told over the story, supposedly the letter, the tshuva of the Nadiv Yehuda went to Constantinople with the same fellow who was delivering the letter that the Baal Shem Tov wrote to his brother-in-law, Rabbi Gershon Kitzever, who already lived in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So the Baal Shem Tov wrote about the Aliyas Neshama that he had on Rosh Hashanah, and he went and he met the Melech HaMashiach in heaven, and he asked him, "What's Ayosti Mar?" And he said, "Shiafutsa Mayinasecha Chutsa," when you'll spread the Hasidah. So those two letters were carried together by the same mailman. So one letter he dropped off in Constantinople by the Rav. And the other letter he continued to take with him when he traveled there. He used to go from Constantinople by boat to go there. So that's part of the story. So so that's what the Rabbi Zalcharis made such a comment. That he comes to the Olam HaEmes, he's going to sue the Nadiv Yehuda for the 5 rubles he was mafsid him. Why he bought the sefer and he doesn't have anything. So Rav Soloveitchik told over the story that his grandfather Rav Chaim was there. So he asked Rabbi Zalcharis, "What do you say? Do you say it echadem yisurim ba'isha?" He said, "Of course you say echadem yisurim ba'isha." So he says, "Look in the Becha David." He quotes a series of Rishonim who disagree that it doesn't apply by isha. It's only she's not really an amenis. The halacha says that isha chaveira. She's a religious woman. Al kol chaveira meitzel kashrus. We have a right to rely on the woman if we know that she's an observant woman. And it's you can rely on your sister or your mother or your wife because of the Ruba de Leisa Kamon, but not because of Eidech and Nem Risu. So Rav Chaim said, and the whole Sefer is worth the 5 rubles just for that sin alone.
What if
So then you don't have the chazaka that she wouldn't give you the food, she wouldn't be machshel you in an
Easter. Why doesn't that chazaka exist?
No, she tells you it's not kosher. She tells you don't eat it.
You don't believe her. Why would you believe her?
No, let's say the chaver has food in his house, and I'm about to eat it on the assumption that everything is kosher. And then he says, I didn't have a chance to be makish yet. Everything is tevil. So then we can't eat it.
So that doesn't mean that he's believed.
The chaver is believed because it's a man, but the woman is ain't an emanet. But in this case, you can't apply the chazaka, the ruvet, the leisa kaman. Hakol chaver meitzel kasher is because she's telling you don't eat it. The umdin of the ruvet, the leisa kaman is.
Yeah. It really.
No, not exactly. It doesn't matter. If she'll feed me the food, and she's a religious woman, so she would never feed me food. A religious person would never give me food if the food is not kosher. It wouldn't be mashal me, but if she's telling me, please don't eat the food, it's not kosher. So then there's no roof to allow me to eat the food. Aruba Deleisa Tamon. If she gives you the food, she gives you the food, so what do you have to ask? She's giving you, so she's telling you that it's kosher. She's implying that it's kosher. So bottom line, we said Rav Shlaim Eger asked this kasha against the Pnei Yeshua. How can he say that a Baldova is not believed? It isn't against the Taisus and Gittin. Taisus follows that opinion in the Talmud Yerushalmi and Zroim, that the Mokar, the source for the institution of Ederech and Amirisurim, is that Rosh of Esopo Loli Atzma, that fine base of Manal. So we answered, Rav Shimon answered, no, that's not a kasha, because the woman, the Zobah, the Nida, is not the Baldova. So that Pasuk is not a contradiction. But the Maisa, the Pasuk is a contradiction. Because Taisus says, based on that Pasuk, Ederech and Amirisurim applies to women. And if you're going to adopt the position of the Tnei Yeshua that a Baldova is ain't a Nema, because Baldova doesn't have a Shemaid, so a woman doesn't have a Shemaid either. So the Maisa, that Pasuk, is in contradiction to the Pnei Yeshua suggestion. If you want to follow this Pnei Yeshua, you can't follow Taisus Shita. The Machlek is Rashi and Taisus in the beginning of Gittin. Where is the source of the principle of Eidech and Nehman Bissum? So Taisus claims the source is the Sofer Lo Liatzma. And Rashi says a different source. The Shochat has been a Bokra. The Torah Hiimina Kol Odom Ala Shchitav Al Nikar Agir Ala Maisus. Rashi says a different posting. The Shochat has been a Bokra. He shechs the Korban all by himself. Nobody has to be watching. So if you hold like Taisus, and these two opinions appear in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that's the Achrayim point on. Machlekes Rashi and Taisus, really a Machlekes Amaroyim in Yerushalmi and Zeroyim. So if you're going to follow Taisus Shita, the Vesafa Lomri Atmi, the Mokar, then you can't agree with the Pnei Yeshua. Not because the woman is a Baldova, Tov, that would be explained away. The woman is not the Baldova, because she's not the Balamaisa, not by the becoming the Zova, and not by the Bika Shivinikim. She doesn't do the Maisa that makes her into Tahira. She's not, the things are happening to her. She's the chetz over here. She's not the gavram who's making things happen. But the pasuk is anyway against the Pnei Yeshua, because he's going to say that about Dover is no good because he lacks a shemate. So Ish also, all the six people mentioned by the Tumim don't have a shemate either. So anyway, that the Pnei Yeshua is in contradiction with the Taisus. Then Pnei Yeshua cannot live in peace with the Taisus. He can hold like the Rashi. Now we got to. Now we didn't scratch the surface yet. Okay, tomorrow we have to come back to what's going on over here. What's the issue? Whether the woman is a menace or not, both on Bo and the Vito, whether she's a menace or not on the children, whether she's a menace or not on herself.
Keep it on. What?